Welcome, everybody, to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing for this October 31st, 2022. Happy All Hallows Eve, everyone. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. Good morning, Randy.
Morning, James. Good morning, all.
And we're going to be taking your phone calls in a little bit, everybody. But first, we're welcoming in head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. We have Paul Peckham with us. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks a lot for being here, sir. Appreciate the conversation, as always. Thanks so much for being in with us. Where would you like to start? Big week of games for you guys. Being back to back to back to back, literally. Just important big games that you guys always... exciting weekend, and I could tell everybody what happened, but I want to hear from you how you felt the week went.
I thought it went well. It was a good indicator of where we are right now and where we need to be. We started off well with a big win against Chicago. It was good. We're not scoring a lot of goals right now. So okay. I thought it would be our coming out party. You score your goals. You got some of your heavy hitters are now starting to hit the net. It was exciting. Mm-hmm. And then the next three games, we scored one goal in the next three games. But... they were all top quality teams. I mean, there was no question. That's the level that we need to be at. And it was an eye-opener for some of these younger guys. Some of these teams are a lot older, more experienced. And that's as a whole, that's the bar, and that's where we need to go.
You know, you talked a little bit off air with me about playing a doubleheader on Friday. That's got to be tough.
It's brutal. We literally had 4 hours between the end of the game and then the beginning of the Hudson game. And you know Hudson, probably, better than I do. They're always strong, they're no different. It was tough. We hung on. It was 1-0 halfway through the game, and next, you could see the guys just running out of gas, and the wheels fell off. And they get a couple, hits a guy in the leg, goes in a net, back door, this, that. Next, it's 4-5-0. But listen, I am so proud of our guys because they just worked and worked and worked. And if there's anything that I want the listeners to understand that what my mission is. And how I approach this is not professional hockey. Mm-hmm. My job is to teach and develop these guys and put them in situations where hopefully they're successful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's a teaching process. Okay. So some guys are going to be put in situations that maybe they've never been in. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn, because if you want to play college, you got to have your game evolve. Yeah. And so we're going to take it on the chin a couple of times, and we're going to learn, and we're going to go to work, and that's why you practice. And I tell you what, that 2-0 loss against Utah, to me, was our best game of the season at this point. Just everybody bought in, blocking shots, being committed to the D side of the puck in our own zone. And then you could see it's 2-0 going into the third period, and you could see the tide turning, and we just started coming. We just couldn't score. And we had chances where it was about 3-4 minutes left. We had one point blank. And if that would have went in, you could have told. We were coming.
Yep. Yeah.
And we just ran out of time.
Did I see, their goalkeeper had, 46 saves on you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you pounded the net.
Peppered the net.
We have a hard time scoring right now. And like I said, we've had the Moose game where we went 8-1, and then we went 8-3, and then we go dry. And that's difficult to keep everybody up, but you gotta get through it. And it goals are like grapes; they come in bunches.
So. The other thing I remember when we were having our conversation over at the rink a month or so ago, you were talking about, these are not professionals, and you're trying to instill in these young men more than hockey.
Yeah.
It's all about growing as young men, being part of this community, even though they're not from here. Maybe you want to tell the folks a little bit about that as well.
It's important. I want these guys to understand to give more than you get. And go out there. And tonight we're doing the trunk and treat at the Edenbrook, I believe.
Yeah.
So we'll do that and stay, with the mindset of that people are coming to watch you. Right, so how can we help them? Right, we did the day of caring with the raking of leaves and doing all that. So I want to make sure we're doing something all the time. And to be honest with you, I told them yesterday, tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning, meeting today, right? Meet me at the rink, and we're going to do conditioning. So Mondays and Wednesdays, 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to work more. And we're just going to work. And I want these guys to understand that that's what it takes, on and off the ice. Okay, and if you know, and if the community knows how hard these guys are working, right, and then still go out and make sure that their presence is felt in the community, that's what it's all about for us. And that's what I want people to understand.
We can't guarantee that any of these kids are going to go on to the next level, but they're going to go on in their lives. They're going to go on to other communities, other places. So we can definitely go on and do that. They can help them, build them to be good men, putting back into their communities. Whatever happens with their slap shot or any of those things, that works itself out. But you can guarantee that they're going to be human beings. They're going to be living in our towns and our cities and this, and they want to put back into it. And learning how to do that, learning ways to do that from their seniors, from their elders, is part of how we build these things, along with building hockey up and down the river.
Right. As a matter of fact, I just got a card from one of the houses that we rake the leaves from. And they just sent the card saying how unbelievable that these young professionals were, right? And it's very important to me on how we conduct ourselves. And on the road, in the restaurants, you know, I make sure they clean the tables. And, and they do this. They say thank you to the people behind making the food and all that stuff. All that stuff will go with them for the rest of their lives. And hopefully they raise their families, you know, accordingly and however they feel in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it keeps everything in perspective, doesn't it? It's like, you know, you have a great weekend, you know, maybe not on the scoreboard, but you have a great weekend and these kids get to grow and they get to learn. And that's what you're trying to do, the values, right?
No question about it. And also what I do, we visited 5 colleges so far. Right, so now I'm talking to coaches. We're going to the campuses. We're looking at facilities. We went to Bethel University, and then we went to their rink, which they play in the Schwann Super 8, which is there's 8 ice rinks in them. It's a big facility. So I take the kids in there, and then we talk about things. You know, when you're making your decisions, there's a lot of different things that come into play, right? I try to explain to them, you know, what are you looking for? Everybody's different. Everybody's path is different. So that's part of the education, you know, the process is picking the right school. And we do, you know, to your point, James, is that these guys will go to play to the next level. The question is what level, right? So, I mean, we have a couple of guys in our goaltender, Lucas Bryan, right off the bat, is a guy that has already played NCAA, right? So, and he's got already a lot of interest in him. I mean, his save percentage is almost 0.946.
Kid's a gymnast. He's a gymnast in that net, man.
He's unbelievable. He's playing very well right now.
When it comes to, because Coach, you've been doing this for a while. You've been coaching and been around the country, around the world really, doing a lot of this stuff. But I don't believe, from what I could read of your background, that you have a lot of experience with this league, the USPHL. I thought you had. Okay. So you know some of these teams, if not all these teams, already coming into this. Has that helped you with a new team, with a new franchise like that you're running right now?
Well, I was in the USPHL for 10 years.
Right. That's what I didn't want
to. College, but yeah.
As a player and a coach, I was thinking of the differences, but that's a point to make. That's certainly a strong point to make. Yeah.
I played most of the East Coast teams.
Okay.
Towards the tail end, I went to Chicago playing the showcase. So you played maybe one team here and there. So I seen the River Kings. I heard about all that. But there's a lot more teams now than there were when I was a couple of years ago. You know, this whole California and the Pacific divisions and all that wasn't there. So it was mainly up and down the coast.
Yeah, so it didn't really play into things at all one way or the other for you taking this job or going into this. Now that you're doing it, and you're kind of in what we would say maybe a quarter of the season, maybe, what has been a surprise for you, positive, negative, what have you?
Well, the surprise... I'm not really surprised. I guess the physicality, more so here. I think the size of guys are maybe probably a little bit bigger, on the most part. Some of these teams are just tremendous.
Yeah.
Very big, and skilled. And so it's I'm maybe a little bit surprised by that, but not much. You know, I mean, what I enjoy the most, to be honest with you, is the 3-hour bus rides. 3-4 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, being on a bus from Palm Beach to Boston is, you know, is a little rough. But so that I enjoy. You know, it's quick. Yeah. It's and there's a lot of good teams. Our division is very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in the Southeast Division. I've been in the Florida Division. And now this division, I think this division with 9 teams in it, and all of them are good. They're tough. You know, you can't take anybody for granted.
Hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to that and going through the cycle. And, you know, the squash that we play in 2 weeks, I got a chance to watch them this weekend. And, you know, they got a couple, they got one guy that scored, he got 30 goals.
Jeez.
You know, in 12 games.
Man. So
it's like,
you know, it's also interesting you're talking about, you know, getting these young men ready, and you're talking about when you're over in Minnesota and looking at that college, and it's different for everybody, like you said. So how have you found the adjustment? Because I'm assuming that a lot of these kids have not come from a community the size of Rapids. What have you noticed with that? Have they really bought into the small community in the middle of Wisconsin?
Yeah, they have. They love it. I tell you, these guys are, we got a special group here. These kids are very tight, and people, I've had the Dells Ducks organization tell their owner about how impressed they were about us.
Huh.
Right? And I know the owner very well. And so when he told me that while we were on the bus going there, I was, you know, you kind of get caught back a little bit. You don't expect to hear that from another organization.
Yeah.
But it's, and to me, that's important. Again, how we conduct ourselves on and off the ice, and you know, the accountability and the expectations, and I always preach, you act like a pro, right? Act like a pro, and when other people see that, especially other organizations, and now they start to talk to you differently too, right? They'll come up to you at a showcase, hey coach, how you doing? Shake hand, and it's, that's what I want, and our guys have bought in with the respect and the manners and how you treat people. Right, and I raised my kids. You treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what we're learning here.
Isn't that cool? And then you share that with the kids, and they're like, you know, see, this is what we talk about all the time, right? People are watching, right?
Yes.
People are paying attention, and now you hear it, and you're hearing the good reports, and this is what we're striving for, right? And you got to see their buttons are popping off their shirts, right?
Yeah.
I was a little kid, and I would follow my dad everywhere. My dad would take me around Chicago to Windy City Boxing, where he would do his minor boxing and training and all that. And I always had to stay right by his side. He didn't like me being there that young by myself. When we'd go down to the rink, and he'd play with the minor hockey team out of the Blackhawks and everything, I could bop around anywhere I wanted. Because everybody there, and all these hockey people, and the players, coaches, all that, couldn't be nicer, couldn't be more of better people. And I'm not saying that every hockey player you ever meet is that way, but overwhelmingly, like, that's hockey life, that's hockey people. Like, they're like that. I think part of it, and I don't know if this is the reason or not, but I think because you have a world sport, and you have so many people sending their kids from other zip codes, other parts of the world, you know, what is one of the things we do as parents? Hey, be polite. Be nice, be kind when you're out in that, you know, at a visitor's house or something like that. Almost all of our parents have told us that stuff. I think that over the decades of the growth of hockey around the world, especially here in America, you've seen this spread where that is. And now it's kind of like almost one of the more consistent things in hockey is when you meet somebody, a player, a coach, anything, they're polite. They have manners. It's almost embedded into the sport in a way, which is kind of cool, I think.
I think it's just a level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been fortunate enough to play for some great coaches that are GMs in the NHL now and stuff like that. So, and even to this day, to get to see them and meet them after a few years in between, right? And it's just the level of respect, it will never leave you.
Coach, I know you guys, we've kept you longer than I planned. I appreciate you sticking around, man. You guys got a good game coming up on Friday, November 4th, taking on Hudson Havoc. Going to be playing them two back-to-back games, I see. Mm-hmm. That one will be at the Hudson Sports and Civic Center. Now, coming up on November 11th, we get you guys back home. You guys are back home at the Southwood County Rec Center for November 11th, 12th, I see. We want to fill that arena. We want to show everybody what home ice advantage is. Mm-hmm. So be sure to get your tickets at RiverKingsHockey.com. Certainly be listening to the station here. We've got some tickets to give away. We'll be doing that. Anything you want to touch on? I don't want to put you on a preview here, but anything you want to touch on with these upcoming games?
I think you know, we got our hands full. We got a lot of work to do, and as long as we just stay focused and motivated, there's not a team that we can't beat as long as we play the right way. And you know, Hudson again will be a tough test, as will the Squatch. But I like our chances. I like what we have. And like I told the guys today, you know, coming out and starting this conditioning, a little extra work. You know, but you got to put in the work if you want to see the results. And right now, you know, having a three game skid, you got to stop the bleeding. How do you do that? You got to go to work.
Right.
And so they're all in. Everybody was there, bright eyed and bushy tailed, and went at it. And it was good. It's good to see. So I just want everybody to understand that these guys are working hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Well said, Coach. I'm a little proud of myself, you guys. All I wanted to do was talk to the coach about the gear he's got on today, because I need that sweater, man. That is one of the coolest sweaters I've ever seen. Right? I need that sweater. Thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate you joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.
Looking forward to talking again real soon. We're going to go to break, but I want to encourage everybody, if you haven't done it already, bookmark riverkingshockey.com. Help our Kings build hockey up and down the river, and be sure to catch every home game all season long on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. We'll be back with more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Be sure to stop by there for all your printing needs, and a good big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, wishing them a good morning. Phone lines are open, 424-2600. Give us a call with your things that you want to. I almost started saying over-the-back fence lines.
No, they're open, too.
Yeah, they're open, too. Give us a call with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. I know the World Series is going along, 1-1 tied up there. Already been a more interesting World Series than I thought it was going to be, so that's been kind of cool. I kind of thought Houston was going to run game on this. Philly not letting that happen, though. Like, in both games, they've been in, certainly won game one, been in game two, was in game two. Even they came back a little bit, although they didn't win it. For most of us sports fans, I don't happen to know any Philly or Houston fans. So I got to think that the majority of us that are watching want to see a good game, like just see a good World Series here. And so far, so good.
My cousin lives in Houston, actually, he was texting how he's gearing up for game one, and that was a dandy, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You got Justin Verlander after three innings is winning 5-0. You think that baby's in the bag, and then here comes back Philly, and what a catch by Nick Castellanos in the bottom of the ninth, two outs. If he doesn't make the catch, it's 2-0 right now.
These guys make this stuff look so simple. But any of us have ever even played like a pickup game of baseball in like some one of our fields or something like that around here, know how hard those catches are. And then you see it like in a major league ballpark. Like, we think if we played the sport, we know a little bit about it and stuff, especially as guys. We all do this. I don't care what level you've played at. You know, well, yeah, I played intramural football, so I know what I'm talking about. You know, all guys do this. But with this, it's so much different with baseball to me, because there's nobody who has played on a major league field unless you have been in the major league, you know, in the majors to do it. So the idea of even being able to wrap your mind around a 400-foot home run, or something like that. What it's like to cover that field is what I think of always. Because I love defense, and I've always been a big fan of great athletic defensive players in baseball. I think that one of the sneaky, beautiful things about baseball is its art. And when you see good fielding, it's art. I talked about this about Javi Baez for a long time. I still to this day have never seen somebody who was so artistic about where to place that mitt. Right where to put it to get the guy coming to second or something, or getting the guy at third or whatever. I grew up watching Ken Griffey Jr. like every second I could get. I absolutely loved watching. More than watching him hit, I like watching him in the field by far and away, just because I never seen, and I didn't get to grow up watching Willie Mays and a lot of these great fielders like Clemente and that, like my dad and my papa did. So he was my generation's like closest thing we had to that. A couple of Jim Edmonds and a couple of other great center fielders. But Griffey kind of takes the cake. I just always love defense. Modern-wise, I can't get enough of Mookie Betts. He's one of my top favorite athletes in any sport to watch. Like, he's must-watch TV for me when he's in the field. Like, great hitter. Love watching him at the plate. But, man, I love it when he's in the outfield. And they're talking about moving him to second, which was his natural position. So that's even more exciting to me. But you see that catch by Castellanos, and he makes it look so easy. And we've seen slide and grabs before, but, I mean, I'm watching that in slow motion, and I'm just blown away that he was able to make that play. Like, timed it perfect.
You know, I think of it when I go watch the Rafters, you know, because as good as they are, and it's so much fun to watch, you know, they make those plays, and then the other team sometimes doesn't make the plays. Mm. Well, that happens in every league. But the way that professional baseball players, you know, at their level, why they're professionals, the plays they make deep in the hole, diving behind second, the one-handed pickup at third and the throw, and nip them by, you know, slow motion replay, and he's got them by a half an inch. It's just amazing the way they can field, and the ground that some of those guys, like you just mentioned, can cover out in the outfield, and that catch just, you know, personified what we're all talking about here.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make that catch. This is 2-0. Houston would have not lost a game yet in the playoffs. They'd be 9-0 right now. Now, most pundits still think they're going to win this series,
yeah,
right? But at least now it's a little bit interesting, and now we got 3 in a row at Philly, so that's going to make it even more interesting. And if Philly can pull off the miracle of not losing at home,
oh my gosh,
they win the series in 4-1, and they wrap it up on Wednesday.
I got a couple of friends in Houston, in that area too, that are diehard Astros fans, and I can't imagine what, to me, I'd rather be Philly in this situation where you lose, and well, that's what was expected. Yeah. You win and all that's in there. That seems like a fun place to be in, but man, the Astros fans that I know, they're not blinking. They're like, yeah, this is what we expected. We were going to lose. We weren't going to sweep the Phillies or anything. So they're right where they kind of thought they would be. It should be interesting. The game picks up again tonight, 1-1 tied. As Randy said, they're in Philly. Noah Syndergaard for Philly and Lance McCullers Jr. for Houston. We'll cover more of this, of course, by the time we do another Playmakers. Might have the World Series all wrapped up, or actually will be wrapped up. Yeah. So by the time we talk about this again, we'll be talking about a World Series champ.
Yeah, because the seventh game would be Saturday, I believe.
Since we were talking baseball, Randy, I did want to kind of use that as a segue into talking a little bit about the Brewers. Because those who did not hear, kind of a out of nowhere story to me, I thought, of Stearns leaving the front office for the Brewers. Well, not leaving the front office, taking a different position from GM. Did you hear much about this? Did you get a chance to read much about it?
I did not. I just saw that it happened, and just left it at that.
Yeah, so the news kind of, it was a little bit of a Friday news dump kind of story, but David Stearns is stepping down as Brewers president of baseball ops. Stern is stepping away from his role as the Brewers president of baseball operations, saying last Thursday he just needs a break and isn't thinking about taking a job with any other organization. Stearns will remain with the Brewers in an advisory role to owner Mark Anastasio, who has been the Brewers' senior vice president and general manager since 2020, taking over the lead role in overseeing baseball operations.
You know, I think that's a job that you and I are always looking for.
Yes.
Advisory roles.
Yes.
Don't you wonder what they actually, how much they advise?
Right? What a great gig.
You know, you're sitting in your office probably just enjoying life, and all of a sudden the guy comes in, hey, what do you think about this? And you give him your opinion, and he walks away.
That's it.
Responsibility if it doesn't work.
No responsibility, no accountability. I, for the life of me, like, we love sports as fans, and many of us have been an armchair quarterback or an armchair coach or whatever. But when I actually think about getting paid to do these jobs, I'm not talking about being a player. Being a player, like, the money is insane and all these things. And not to say that, like, a guy like Stern was getting paid chump change or anything, but it's a big difference of what you're paid. And I think of this more so with football coaches. And I mean, like, all football coaches, high school, college, pros. How much are they paying you to make this really worth it? Like, I mean, what's the balance of, hey, I love this, and I do it with my passion, and my God, this is an insane job. Why am I doing this for a living?
And that goes back to our Jim Leonard conversation, right?
Yes, yes.
Right? Is that something he wants? Because now the hours and the time have just increased exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, James and Randy. How are you guys today?
Wonderful. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, what a spooky weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Put it this way, I got a lot done around the weekend. You know,
I agree.
And then the Packer game, the game they call football last night, I mean, that was...
You know what, though? You know, I was expecting 55-3, so With all the
Jordan Love to come in at halftime.
Yeah, with all the injuries that they sustained, I mean, what did he have? Two wide receivers at the end of the game? My goodness, he just at least they decided to run the ball and stop trying to force the pass.
Yes,
right, and they really do. They're due for a. They got three more weeks before they get a bye. Maybe they really could use one right now.
Oh, isn't it week 14?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's like 6 weeks yet. Jeepers.
So here's because I wanted to get into this today because I'm not a big believer in honorable losses or that kind of thing, but I do believe you can win. You can learn a lot from a loss, and with that, we were just talking to Coach about the River Kings when it comes to that stuff and everything. So coaches believe it too, and really that's what matters, that coaches believe it, players believe in it. If you're Green Bay, if you're in that locker room today or tomorrow when they get back to practice and everything, I got to think if you're Coach LaFleur, that second half showed you a lot of what your team is made of. Because I've watched a lot of football this year, and I've seen a lot of teams coming into the second half, and once they knew they were out of the game, they're checked out. Just completely checked out. You guys tell me, because I didn't get to watch the game extensively or anything, but I saw highlights, and I went back and watched like the third, fourth quarter, like almost completely. And I didn't see one player who was not playing that game like it was a one-score game. Like they were still in it, including Aaron Rodgers, who I've been really wondering how his body language was going to be as this season goes on if the losing keeps piling up. And to me, I came away from that kind of I don't want to say impressed because you don't want to give people credit for doing their job. They should be engaged. They should be caring. They're paid millions of dollars to do this. But that being said, they're still human beings. And I didn't see any of those players. I mean, maybe one or two that I didn't notice or something like that. But I saw a team that was playing that game just like LaFleur came into it saying, we're going to treat this like it's 0-0 and it's a whole new ball game. It's a long season. And you don't know how this team is going to look as it goes on. Injuries are only going to pile up more. It's not like people are going to get healthier as the season goes on. I think there's something to take from that. How do you, though, feel as Packer fans? Do you guys feel that way? Or, we lost. That's all that matters.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yesterday, I guess the effort looked better than what it has had the last few weeks from this team. That offensive line, they need to do something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise Aaron Rodgers won't be along to be around by the end of the season. He is just getting punished. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the frustration might be coming in. I mean, yeah, he's got young receivers that Dobbs catching the end zone there in the first half that he turned around about four times before he actually got a chance to catch the ball. I don't know. I'm just still not feeling comfortable about the team. I mean, now I kind of know how you Bear fans feel a little bit.
Right.
Kind of how things are going to.
This morning I was thinking back to, I think it was Rodgers' first year. Weren't we 4-10 that first year of his?
Yeah.
And I bet she's kind of thinking back to those moments. But, we have no wide receivers right now. We had Touri was playing. He got a touchdown at the end of the ball game, but you lost your number two pick, Christian Watson, in the game. You lost your two inside linebackers during the game. They are so banged up, that offensive line. Like you just said, they're pushing people in different places. That Tom is not a big guy. He's trying to play guard last night, and he was getting run over by those monsters. And, you'd even go to Detroit. You think about that. That's never been an easy place to play, and they were up 21-7 yesterday on Miami before they let it go. They're 1-6, but I don't feel confident going in there. Actually, looking at the entire schedule, I don't feel confident with any of the games that they play, not with the injuries that they've sustained during this year. And to make a trade and bring in one person, that's just not going to make a difference.
Especially if it involves draft picks. No. I'm hanging up the phone on that call
now. I think this year is already one of those where you're going to say, you know what, we're not going to make the playoffs, and we just get through it, we battle through it, and we look to improve maybe in the offseason. That's my opinion.
Granted, it was a different coaching staff. I mean, back when was it 2011 when they won the Super Bowl? I mean, they were dealing with injuries all year long. But they always had that mentality of next man up. There's no mentality here at all. I mean, there's like you get the injuries, you just see it, and just like everybody's like, oh, he's hurt. No, here we go again. Where that team that they had that won the Super Bowl, it was like, okay. We have an injury. Okay, we're let's hopefully he heals good, but we're gonna You don't see that with this team. And
that Super Bowl year we lost Robert Brooks in that San Francisco Monday night game.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
But then we got Andre Rison before the playoffs. You know, so we lost one, we replaced one, right? You're right, we were banged up that year. But I think the offensive line was pretty healthy. I think our offense was actually pretty healthy that year. It was just the defense. And then even in the Super Bowl, when Woodson went down, he went, oh, they finally caught up with us, right? There goes the the Super Bowl. But somehow we overcame that too. But, boy, I agree. There were so many injuries that year. But I think between the lack of talent and the injuries, it's even magnified more this year.
Right. But the one question I have for you, James, and this is now, the other day my son and I were watching the Islanders and Rangers.
Mm.
Okay. You have teams like in New York, you got the Giants and Jets, the Knicks and the Nets, you know, we got Brooklyn. Chicago, you got the Cubs, White Sox. You go out to L.A., you got all those teams out there in L.A. Mm-hmm. How, as a fan, do you become a fan? Because here in Wisconsin, you got Green Bay, Bucks, Brewers, and the Badgers.
Hmm.
You know?
Your phone dipped out. Yeah. How do I do... I'm not sure what the question is.
How do you do it as a fan? I mean, how do you do it as a fan? I mean, where do you take that...
Oh no!
Oh, we lost
the White Sox. I'm sure you're the same way.
Your phone's cutting in and out, bud.
We're losing you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, darn it! Of all the times to lose him too. What? You know what?
I was watching the other day, like, how do you be a fan?
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear us there, sir, but you were cutting out all over, and I didn't hear any of the question. I'm so sorry. You want to try again?
I think we lost
him. Yeah, I think we lost. Well, go. Feel free to call back, sir.
I think what his question was, they got so many choices. How do you be a fan of a certain team?
Gotcha. I think that's what I thought he was saying. I just want to make sure I understood it right.
I think
so. That's a great question. That is a great question. I go by the seasons, pretty much. You know, I ride a lot of that. That is a big part of it for me. Good morning, you're on Playmakers.
Good morning. No comment on that, but I know it's been said before, but what are the Halloween hours for tonight, Rampant? Got that?
5 to 7.
Yep, 5 to 7.
5 to 7. Yep. I thought I made a mistake, but I was wrong. Thanks a lot. You have a good day.
Hey, no problem, sir. You have a great day. Thanks for the call. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, For one, it was a little bit easier for me because I didn't follow the Cubs, really. My family followed the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I was a White Sox fan. I was the only White Sox fan in my whole family.
That's interesting.
So that part was a little easier. But really, you go by the seasons, really, when you're in the city and stuff. This time of year, we're focused all in on the Blackhawks and the Bears. Mm. You know, and coming up a little bit here, wait, the Bulls. Yeah, we're going to focus on the Bulls, too. It's part of the reason why sports can be so maddening, and why somebody like my father, who I don't know many people who love sports the way my dad does, can come up to me and his favorite sport, baseball, and be like, geez, Jimmy, I thought I missed game 3 of the World Series. Because there's so much to cover. Yeah. There's so much to follow. There are things that even the most diehard sports fan will miss, like in baseball in the off season, because there's things going on left and right and everything, and you can't keep up.
I said to my wife last night, as I'm looking through all the high school sports, I went, oh, I almost forgot about volleyball. You know, high school volleyball sectionals are going to come on. My goodness, you're right. And when you asked about the David Stearns article, you know, it's just another thing because it's just 24/7. And yeah, I saw it, but just didn't have time to read through it. You know, it's just, it's volumes, right?
And I think so much of our sports is handed down. You know, I wasn't born a hockey and boxing fan. I became one because my dad was a boxer and played hockey. So to this day, and probably the rest of my life, I will follow those sports. We tend to do that a lot. And then as you're a kid and you're growing up, and this is hard for people to maybe wrap their minds around, but for the older audience, you guys will get this. There was a time where football was not the biggest game in town. It was baseball's town. It was baseball, baseball, baseball. And football was kind of that niche sport that, you know, it felt like me and my friends, we felt like, oh, it was kind of cool that we like it and everything. And not everybody is so diehard about football as they are, of course, now. Now it is the biggest game in town and everything. But so I grew up really loving football as like a kind of thinking of it as more of a rebellious sport and not really, you know, as big as baseball or even basketball at the time when I was young. Because with the rise of the Bulls and that run that they had, they took what Magic and Bird did was take it to this level. And then the Bulls thing, not just Michael by himself, obviously, Charles Barkley and so many other great athletes of that time elevated the sport to another level, to where baseball, basketball, and then you kind of had football, and you know, there's hockey that's always kind of taken up that fourth spot. Whereas now, that whole thing, paradigm has changed. That's shifted completely. Football isn't so big. Football's got first place and second place and third place. If you break it down to pro football, college football, high school football, the XFL, that kind of thing, where football's so huge. The XFL, before the pandemic really hit in, the XFL was pulling better numbers than some basketball games. It's just insane the way people will watch football. So yeah,
it was interesting. You know, they always start advertising already on Saturday, the next Saturday college games, the big matchups, and you talk about the Thursday night NFL games and the Sunday games, and tonight Cleveland, Cincinnati, and then you're going, now when is the next World Series game?
Right? Oh my God, I almost forgot about the World Series.
Are they playing tonight? And where? You know, with football, you know, well, you know, the Packers are going to be in Detroit, and you have to really kind of look almost to figure out where it has really changed. You're right.
We're going to take our final break and come back. And Randy works so hard on so many high school sports and everything. I want to get to that. Before we do, we don't ever get to talk swimming, you know? Ooh. And I just wanted to touch on this real quick in case anybody hadn't seen, because when the Summer Olympics, when the games come around, we always know these names. And Katie Ledecky is one of the greatest swimmers of all time. Just keeps on breaking records. And Ledecky set a world record in the 1,500-meter freestyle last Saturday night at the Toronto Pan Am Sports Center. She just killed it. The 10-time Olympic medalist, who doesn't compete in short course events very often, finished in 15.08.24, taking nearly 10 seconds off the previous record set by Germany's Sarah Welbrock.
How much time off?
Like 10 seconds off there. In swimming.
Oh.
That's incredible.
You're talking tenths of a second if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Or hundredths.
Yeah.
Ten seconds?
10 seconds she took off this. Like, because it's not as popular of a sport, so people don't have a huge body of work to go off of. We don't always, but I think in America we can because of Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
So I think we have a little bit better of an understanding of how hard swimming is, how much credit we should give it. And my goodness, this young lady's amazing. She's
that
something.
Is insane.
That's a pretty cool story. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some high school sports here at WFHR's Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. We are going to have some fun right now as my partner in sports, Randy Paul, does such an amazing job covering the high school area. What do you got for us today, Randy?
Well, first of all, I got to apologize because there's a lot of different names that I was able to look up and find the results of. And, of course, don't know the pronunciation. They don't have a guide, so I'm just going to do the best I can. You know, we got to start off right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
The cross-country state tournament was held here at the Ridges.
Yeah.
For the boys, it was the 109th year. I remember being a little boy, being at that first event. Back up.
No, that took me a second because I was so...
I could see you processing it.
I didn't know that it's the 110th event they've done of this. That's insane.
For the girls, it's number 48.
Wow, that's so really cool still.
Why don't we start with the girls in Division III? Mm-hmm. Cochran Fountain City takes first place. The Assumption Royals take 10th, and Colby comes in 13th. For Assumption, Lucy Dolans was in 4th place overall. Bailey Harches, 42nd. Brooklyn Shanick with 46th, and Gracie Dolans had 64th place. In Division II, Appleton Xavier grabs the crown. Medford finished in 7th place. For Medford, Meredith Richter was in 14th place. For Mosinee, it was Britt Fitzgerald in 42nd, and Leah Peterson for Amherst finished in 52nd. D1, Muskego takes the title. And Sarah Mladic of D.C. Everest came in first place, so congratulations to her. Natalie Sharonbrook of Marshfield was in 40th, and Sarah Hopp of Stevens Point finished in 47th. For the boys' side of things, in Division III, Kohler grabbed the crown. Pacelli took second place. Charlie Vader of iScan took 11th. Adam Iden of Pacelli was 13th. Gabe Herder of Pacelli was 16th. Isaac Shearer of Columbus Catholic, 21st. And Derek Grossman of Pittsville came in 64th. Division II, Green Bay Notre Dame grabbed the crown. Mauston was in 5th place. Eli Bopart of Mauston finished 2nd, while Tanner Robbie, 24th, from Medford. And Division One, the Spash Panthers. Congratulations to them grabbing first place. Aloysius Franzen took third. Bodie Erickson was in fourth. Cooper Erickson in 17th. Ethan Olds took 20th. Graham Ballard was 23rd. And for Wisconsin Rapids, Colin Wellnitz finished 144th. So big time over at the Ridges. Congratulations to all those people who always put that on. And thanks to the Goskas for letting that take place here in Wisconsin Rapids once again. Well, the girls' volleyball sectionals were this week. And in Division 4, in the semis, Assumption run comes to an end at the hands of the Athens Blue Jays, 25-12, 17-21. The Blue Jays then punched their ticket to state as they defeated Wabino Leona, 25-17, 11-6. In Division 3, in a sectional final, Whitburn outlasts Edgar in 5. Game 5 went to 15-13. Ooh, my goodness, huh? No area schools were involved in Division 2. In Division 1, Marshfield fell to River Falls in the sectional semis, 25-20, 28-26, and 25-19. And Appleton North beat Kimberly 3-0, 25-16, 18-19, to punch their ticket to state, which begins this Thursday at the Rush Center over in Green Bay. Level 2 of high school football this week. Let's start in Division 7 this time, where the Assumption Royals traveled down to the Wisconsin-Illinois border to take on Blackhawk Warren. And in quarter number 2, the Royals actually grabbed a 9-8 lead on a Mason Kubis 28-29-yard field goal. However, Assumption was outscored 18-0 after that, and they fall 26-9. Nick Lieberg rushed for 48 yards, ended this year with 1,438 yards and 22 touchdowns. So, nice year for Nick Lieberg.
Yeah.
And just an outstanding season for the Royals and their coach Jeff Sullivan as they won the CWC Small Conference with a perfect 7-0 mark. And overall, they finished at 10-2. So, tough loss, but no reason to hang the head, right?
No, none at all. A great season by the Assumption Royals. Yeah. A big credit to them.
Yeah, we saw talked last week about the great season for Lincoln High School. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of good teams in the area this year. Elsewhere in D7, third-ranked Edgar edged number 9 Spring Valley 15-8. They'll now face the number 1 team in the state, the Ramblers of Eau Claire Regis. And Shiocton, who plays along with Nakusa, they advanced with a 21-0 shutout of the defending state champion and sixth-ranked Reidsville Panthers. They'll take on the number 1 seed and fifth-ranked Cambria Friesland. Division 6, ninth-ranked Auburndale's fine season also comes to a close as they lose at seventh-ranked Mondovi 20-7. Meanwhile, number 8 Stratford clobbers Cadet 42-14. They'll now travel to Grantsburg next Friday. Division 5, fourth-ranked Colby shuts out number 7 St. Croix Falls 28-0. The Hornets now travel to top-ranked La Crosse Aquinas. No area teams remain in Division 4. Division 3 saw Mosinee lose at home to number 7 Rice Lake 42-33, while Medford is ousted by second-ranked Onalaska 42-12. Division 2, the Tigers of Marshfield were eliminated by the 7th-ranked River Falls squad, 36-21. And in Division 1, we see 3-dubs lose to top-ranked Bayport, 35-14. Second-ranked Kimberly, for some reason, goes on the road to 5th-ranked Nina. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't get that one.
And they pull out a 1-point W, 29-28. While Appleton North continues their nice run, they went on the road and blanked 9th-ranked Hudson. Wow, 17-0, so a little bit of an upset there. And, of course, in 8-man, Newman just continues to roll as they gouged Gilman, 48-14. So, busy area and high school cross country, volleyball, still all that taking place. We'll have more updates, good Lord willing, next Monday on this as well.
Yeah, and looking forward to it. Thank you. Great work there, Randy. Nice coverage, nice reporting. Now that in our area, at least, the high school football season is wrapped up. Exciting season.
Oh, my.
I can't say enough about these area teams. I know Nakusa had a rough season, but a lot of excitement coming out of that field and that for that team that we haven't had maybe some years past. Port Edwards had a nice season, some surprise wins here and there. And, man, Lincoln and Assumption really had a overwhelmingly more positive than not season, I would think. I know we all want to win championships. I know we all want more and more wins and everything. But on the high school level, it's more of a week-to-week thing to me. Like beating your homecoming or winning your homecoming game or beating your big rival or something like that. I don't want to say that means more than winning a championship, but it's kind of like at least you know, okay, well, we have this in line. We don't know if we're going to make it to the playoffs or not, but we have these things set up. And I mean, we all know, most of us remember what it was like to be in school. You're not thinking necessarily about the whole season. You're thinking about today. Like, you're thinking about, like, you know, the little things like that, let alone playing a football game. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty impressive season. A big shout out to all of those coaches of all these local teams that are not getting paid millions of dollars to do right. these jobs. They're putting their time, they're often more times than not taking the time out of their day away from their family or something like that to do these jobs. A big thank you to all of them. A shout out to all these parents getting their kids to practices and picking them up and everything else. And especially, and I hope we can do this more going forward, all those things, just as equally to all of those, the referees and the line judges and all the people that do these things, we literally can't do these games without them. And they, think about all the people I just mentioned there, they're taking time out of their day to do these things. And it's a passion. It's this. It's that. Who likes to get yelled at? Who likes to get treated like, no matter what happens, you're going to upset somebody? Like, even when you make the right call and everything, there's still another team with another fan base that's going to let you have it. You know, every time you go into this job, I'm probably going to deal with this at one point or another. And they continue to show up and continue to do it. And look, we can't do these games without these refs, without these people and stuff. And I could be okay losing pro games over high school sports. If I had to choose, I'd take high school sports over all the pro games. We got to treat these referees right. We got to make sure that they know that they're appreciated so that we can continue to have these games, so that we can continue to have these kids enjoy themselves and do these things and possibly win scholarships or whatever other things. A lot of it starts right there. So, you know, one of the things we can do is certainly acting like adults during these games and while things are going on. I'm not saying that you can't rip on players or something like that. That's sports. Hey, batter, batter. Hey, batter, batter. And we've been doing that since we were kids.
Right.
There's a line, especially with high school sports. I think there's a line no matter what the game is, but especially with high school sports. So, you know, you get a chance, you know somebody that refs, or you've ever been interested in doing it, please look into it. And do say a thank you to any of these refs if you get a chance.
You know, I was thinking back to when we were doing the show maybe 8-9 weeks ago, and you were talking about any, you know, teams that I thought might do well. Well, you think about our two schools here in town, Rapids and Assumption. I think they combined for a 20-5 season.
Yeah, nice.
Isn't that credible?
That's crazy, yeah.
Right? And then you bring up the next thought, you know, of all these people that put in all this time. You know, I know there's people who are holding the down markers. They don't get paid. They're just there volunteering to do those things. People who are working the PA, people who are doing stats. And you think about, you know, the coaches get paid, but just think of the hours that they put in the weight rooms with the kids. Think of the hours they put in watching film, dissecting it, making a game plan. You know, if you actually probably figured out what their salary was and busted it down to, you know, how much they're getting paid per hour. It's definitely for the love of the game, that's for sure.
I'm glad you mentioned the announcers, because that's where I wanted to wrap up on. I wanted to thank you for a great season again, as you've been doing this for a long time, Randy. It's funny, Dave Mueller's birthday was the other day, and so I was thinking about that
yesterday,
too.
Yeah.
Dave used to cover games for us, of course. I do want to let people know that we are looking next year to cover more. We want to. I've talked to Mike and Sage about this, Chuck. I've talked to everyone. We want to be able to get back to what WFHR used to do, that where we covered more of our local teams. It was just a given that we're going to have those games on the air and everything. Randy, we have not been able to duplicate him yet. We're working on it. We're trying to figure this out and everything, but there's a couple little things that are kind of holding us up. So what we're doing is certainly kind of looking out there for other people out there that want to do this job. Just keep in mind, it is a job. It does take work. We've met many people over the years that, I could do that, or, I want to do that, but they don't want to put the work in. They just want to show up and talk. That's not how this works. That's not announcing. You've heard Randy do this professionally on my favorite level for a long time. He puts a lot of time and work into this. You heard over the weekend, maybe, what it's like when you have somebody who is not a professional at doing this for the River Kings and all the trouble that they had with that and everything. So we want to have good people doing these jobs. We want you to be a part of the team. Reach out to me, james@wfhr.com, if you're interested in doing this, whether it is football, baseball, basketball, whatever. Going forward, we'll see. And maybe we'll be able to make you bring you onto the team. We'll find out. Yeah. The only way to find out is reach out.
We think about, you say, what we used to be. You think there were Friday nights used to be three football games.
Yeah.
We'd have, you know, we had Greg Gack, we had Terry Steak, and I'm talking going way back. We had football Friday night with J.D. Michaels and, and Greg, and boy, we'd start off with a Port Edwards game, then we'd have our football Friday night, whether it was Assumption or Lincoln at home, and then one of us would hit the road, and we'd go with Dave Miller, and I would go, or Terry and Dave would go somewhere. So, yeah, we had, you know, four or five people that would be broadcasting games, and we would do three on a Friday night. That was just kind of the way it went.
Yeah.
And now we're hoping to get one on. So you're right. Yeah. We sure could use the help.
And you know, that doesn't just stop and end with announcers. That's also to all the businesses out there. Because we didn't stop covering these games because we lost bodies. We lost sponsors. We lost people to help us put these games on. We need people to put back into their community. We need people. You want to hear Nakusa football, we need Nakusa businesses to pitch in. You want to hear these other schools, we need businesses to pitch in.
And now that we're rebounding from the pandemic, you know, businesses are starting to come back around. Hopefully your business is one of them, and you have the opportunity to support your local high schools and community, right? Just like Coach Beckman was saying, right?
Exactly.
You know, they want the kids to be involved in the community so that the community can be involved with the kids. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, well said, Randy. We're going to get out of here, but I do want to let everybody know, in case you didn't know, your Badgers are back in action this Saturday, November 5th, 11 a.m. start time for that. Wisconsin and Maryland traveling to Madtown for that game. And right today, a little bit later at 6:05, the Gray Guard radio show going to be joining us. This is going to be a good one. Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach. Interested to see what he's looking at this season gets going.
Yeah, they won plenty. They beat in an exhibition against Eau Claire, like 20-plus points spread that they won by. And we've got just quick shout out to right. Pam brought in that Halloween game against Packers beat the Bears, and she just mentioned that Carl was at that game.
That's awesome. Right? Halloween night, the scary one, the frightening evening of football when the wind and rain nearly turned the game into a water polo match. The Packers ate up the Bears 33-6 in front of a Halloween night crowd of 47,381 at Soldier Field. I'll never forget that game.
That was fun. It's just an exciting game.
Oh yeah, especially if you're a Packer fan. Yeah. Thank you for that, Pam. Randy, we appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for a great week. Great stuff today.
Great to be in.
We'll have more Playmakers for you next Monday. Be sure to be here for that. Stick around for plenty more coming up. And a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR, locally grown radio.